Honestly, I wasn't sure we could pull this off ourselves.
You had the vision, and Blinds.com brought your dreams to life.
Yeah, their custom window treatments and free design consultation. Total game changer. Ava walked us through everything. Styles, colors, what would work best in this space.
And we didn't have to leave the house. Free samples showed up fast, and they made it super easy to compare and choose.
Right? Plus, no high-pressure sales pitch, just smart guidance. And the install? I thought it'd be tricky, but Blinds.com instructions were clear. Everything fits perfectly.
And thanks to their SureFit guarantee, if something doesn't fit, they remake it for free. Talk about peace of mind.
And it costs way less than having a designer to our house or going to one of those overpriced showrooms.
We saved money, got the exact look we wanted, and we did it ourselves.
We did it.
So, kitchen windows next?
Blinds.com makes buying and installing window treatments easy and affordable because nobody covers windows better than Blinds.com. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app, available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores, fast, friendly, clean.
Yeah, for real. Yeah, when your bowels get eviscerated. I've noticed they've started like slowly, you know, ramping up the price of Pedialyte now that the mainstream culture has embraced it for hangovers.
Yeah.
Whole new market.
Yeah, what the rest of us knew in 2004.
It is. Batman and I swear by the smart waters. I get like that giant 50-ounce bottle.
Yeah.
So like if I've gone out and had it's like Sunday, right? I had a few beers and it was like, all right, let's put this down before we go to sleep. Smart. I like to pee, Matt.
Good day. You are listening to a podcast, but this isn't just any podcast. Just any podcast couldn't do this. Or this. What the? This is the podcast starring the Ted's. Starring the Ted. Starring the Ted Smith and Cobb. The podcast starts. You better wear a helmet now.
Woo! The podcast, episode 271. What's up, it's your boy, the Ted Smith. I'll be hosting this here podcast, the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
To the left of me, he's to the right of me, and he's always here unless he's somewhere on two wheels in Southeast Asia. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Too late, man. I can't find the stock report. We were in too big of a hurry. I wrote one down, but I can't track it down. It's deep in my notes.
You know what? Screw it. We'll start with MCTP, Matt Cobb, the producer. What's up, Matt?
Hey, Ted.
How you doing, man?
Awesome. Yeah, sluggish start to the day. Got a good workout, and I feel like a whole new person.
Oh, nice. He's always to the left of me. Actually, he's right here to the right of me. He's always here unless he's somewhere in Southeast Asia on two wheels. He goes by the name of Cobb. Cobb, what's going on?
Smoke him if you got him out there on Wall Street today as FANG stocks led the way and big banks followed, pushing indices up nearly 3.25%. Shares the podcast taking a tumble on Wall Street as the bears shorted the boys in preparation for what could be a long winter. The Dow Jones closed up 8%. Will the boys change their strategy heading into the winter? We'll find out at 6:30.
I'll tell you what, I'm pumped for winter. I mean, I don't want summer to be over. I don't know. Today I was all fired up. I had this surgery on my vein, so I've been out of the lab for a few weeks. So tomorrow I'll get back into my lifting routine and everything. And today I was walking to work and I was like, all right, you know, it's August, mid-August. Like, we got to shave off another 10 by Christmas.
Another 10?
Yeah.
What's the ultimate goal? Is the ultimate goal just a lifestyle? Or are you looking for like a specific, like, is there a moment when you're like, oh, you're going to have to believe me. I fucking made it.
No, I don't know that I have that. I mean, I think fitness-wise, like doing a pull-up is still a stretch goal.
That's cool.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't have like a goal weight per se, but you know, me and Matt, we would talk about this. But like, yeah, I just want to, I want it to be a lifestyle. Well, it has been a lifestyle where it's consistent, and then also, honestly, a little bit of fashion too. Mm-hmm. They just don't make a ton of like the coolest clothes. Sometimes cool clothes don't look as good on a fat dude.
Yeah, we talked about big dogs a couple weeks ago.
So I'm kind of excited, you know, to kind of wear some different fashions.
And now that Ted's fall fashions.
Oh, fall of fire. I know. Well, and I got the legs fixed. So honestly, I want to wear a romper.
Capris.
Yeah. Like, I'm going to start wearing some short capris. Shorts, boys. Jorts.
Yeah. Jorts?
Yeah. You know what? I might do that tonight.
You should get a Jito. Jane Speedo. Show the people what they're missing. Dude, real question. I'm not being facetious. Have you done a pull-up before?
Not without a band.
Okay. Like, no, I'm saying, yeah, like in your life, like when you're young or anything. Okay, cool. Yeah. Nice. So that is a pretty solid goal then, dude.
Yeah.
It's like, boom. Bang it out.
I was going to say, there was a period where I could use like, but I still was using like at least a band.
Where's Chris at? Can you do a pull-up? Because if not, you could flex on him. Just bust one out at the beach.
I don't know. He'll call me this week and tell me because I know he listens.
Or he'll start training secretly. He'll be like, yeah, I could do one. And then start doing pull-ups at Christmas. He's just like,
I won't lie, man. Like, so the one day, right, me, him, and CJ, when we were Deep Creek, like, we went to the gym, and they were just running because CJ's doing cross country. So he had, like, a program he had to stick with.
Yep.
And then one day, we were lifting and stuff. So I'm, like, going through my lifting routine, figuring, like, oh, I kind of flex on Chris. And then, like, he goes for, like, a run on the
track. Chris looks strong, though, man.
Yeah, and then I look over in the corner, and he's, like, shadow boxing and doing box jumps. So I was like, damn, this boy has been working out.
Yeah, dude, Chris looks powerful. Like, he's just kind of got that, like, what's the right word? I don't know, that, like, muscle density look to him.
Yeah. Also, I just thought it was funny. I was like, man, like, you know, you always have thoughts as a kid about your principal and stuff. I was like, if they saw him in here, like, shadow boxing and doing box jumps, like, they probably take, I mean, I'm sure they take him serious. No offense, Chris. But I'm like, that would be scary to see your, like, principal in there. Like, I mean, I don't know if he can, but he looks like he can fight.
Oh, yeah. I'm sure. Well, and even more importantly, I'm sure Chris could break up a fight. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Just built like a bouncer. Boom.
Well, and I mean, look, my brother was a bartender for years. He knows. Yeah. He knows
what he's doing. He knows the tactical headbutt.
Step one.
Have you seen that Boss Rutan video, like how to win
dang,
a bar fight?
Dang, dang.
Bangity, bangity, bang.
Yeah. It's kind of funny. Like, yeah,
create distance and grab a chair. What are you saying?
It's funny to me that Boss Rutan, like sometimes people like he's an old school MMA guy, but like he's a god. And sometimes when people are like, don't know who he is, and they'll like bring up that video, like, you don't know who that, like, all right, that makes sense.
He pioneered the open-handed like strike to people's ears. Have you heard that story about him and that football player? Matt?
Oh, are you talking about him and Brian Urlacher?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, you want to tell?
I don't... The way I remember the story is something like they're at an event together, and for some reason, Urlacher was just kind of being a D from what I heard. Right? I don't know.
All right,
something happened.
Yeah, so I don't remember now. Now that you said Brian Urlacher, I'm torn because it was either Brian Urlacher or the guy from Green Bay with the long hair, center linebacker.
AJ Hawk?
Yes. No.
I'm almost positive it was Urlacher.
I don't know. White dude with long hair?
Yeah.
Both of those guys?
Both of them fit that.
Tell you to look it up while I'm telling the story. Anyway,
I'll look it up.
What I had been told was that they were both walking separate ways through a VIP section of a nightclub, and they bumped into each other. Shoulders casually glanced, and the football player, whoever it was, is like, hey, watch where you're effing going, like super loud. And Boss is like, of course. I mean, he literally created the YouTube video, How to Win a Bar Fight. He was an MMA fighter, UFC champion multiple times. He fought all over the world, like Japanese underground, stuff like that. So he's just like, well, what are you going to do about it? In like his like boss voice. And of course, like it's two alpha males coming at each other, and one just really does not know or appreciate who the other one is.
All right, so it's even worse.
Who is it?
It is Brian Urlacher.
Oh, okay.
Supposedly the story is that he stepped on Urlacher's shoe. Boss offered him an apology and then a beer. Urlacher wouldn't have any of it. Urlacher, they said, I guess he said, do you want to take it outside? And Boss Rutan just kind of giggles and goes, sure.
Jesus.
Then, right. Then the other part of the story is basically somebody has to come over and kind of tell Urlacher, like, hey, that's Boss Rutan. Like, you don't, right? And Boss Rutan's not that tall, right? Like, Urlacher's a jerk. Like, you don't want to, You don't want to mess with this
you
dude.
Will lose this 100%.
Well, dude,
he is an MMA legend. He's been waiting for this moment his entire life.
Yeah, there's a story about Anderson Silva. So Anderson Silva, right, was a champ for years and this and that. So I had a buddy, actually, you
would know. For people who don't know UFC, he would be dangerous in a bar fight because he doesn't look like he can fight. He's kind of tall and lanky.
Right. And
he looks like a normal dude.
Right. And
with clothes on.
Yeah. That's funny. It's almost like his accent. I'm just a normal guy. supposedly the story is, God, what is that bar? What is that club down there in Belltown? Foundation or whatever it was at the moment.
Yep.
That he's like walking in and some drunk dude walks by and kind of bumps him. And then it's like F you. Like, and it's just like Anderson Silva's just like laughing at him. Like, are you serious?
Yeah. It's like,
same thing. Like people have to like grab the drunk dude and be like, you have no idea who that is.
Dude, I've told this story on the cast before, but I had a similar moment that almost ended my life, which was I'm walking through. There's this area at BC at Boston College called the Mods. And it's like this, it's basically like temporary housing, but the seniors live there if they get lucky, 10% of seniors. It's kind of like the one area where you're really allowed to party on campus. And it's basically like that movie District 9, where you have like a fenced in area that's just totally destitute. And then the rest of the campus is gorgeous. So I lived in there and I'm walking through after some sort of event and people are drinking and whatever. And this guy like bumps me really hard, but he was shorter, and so his shoulder hit me right in the chest, and I kind of turned, and this is at the time when I'm playing college water polo. I'm as big as I've ever been, and I'm kind of like, dude, who is this clown? I turn and look, and we make like strong eye contact, and we both have that moment of like sizing each other up and just like, am I gonna do anything? And the other guy's like, am I gonna do anything? And it's just like we both kind of just nodded and like walked away. And as soon as I walked away, my buddy was like, you know who that was, right? It's like, I have no idea. He's like, Brian Toll. So Brian Toll was a linebacker for BC, or I'm sorry, a fullback for BC on the football team. He was short, but literally we called our third downs first and toll because you would put him in to push it into the, like, to get a first down. And he was just, yeah, he was really good. He ended up going to the NFL. So anyway, he would have destroyed me. Absolutely destroyed me. And he was like probably 5'7" or something. Doesn't look like much and just absolutely would have been embarrassing. So anyway, thank God.
Yeah.
Ego is expensive. That's the point of my story.
It is. I was not like a huge troublemaker or nothing. Shocking, right? But I remember my freshman year, I don't know how it started, but me and this guy kind of were jawing at each other during like gym class or whatever. So then we almost got into a physical fight. I remember our gym teacher was just like, you guys going to fight or not? But he was he was the wrestling coach. Like, that's just how Mr. Messier was, right? Like, he talked like this, and like, I mean, Mr. Messier.
Are you
Messier.
Guys going to fight or not?
Yeah.
Jesus, dude.
So we didn't, right?
I can see the MSNBC like headline now on the news. Like, gym teacher said, are you going to fight or not?
Well, he was right. He was just kind of like, basically like, shut the f*** up. But he couldn't say that. So he's like, you know, like, are you ladies going to fight or not? You're right. That's not hard. This was 1995.
It's a different time.
Different time. So anyow, so now me and him are kind of like beefing a little bit. I can't remember how. I don't remember why. And like, I'll see this guy at the reunion, and we're fine. We were fine for years after. But like, we started getting into it, and then in the lunchroom, I'll never forget this. Like, I poked him and was like you want like something, like don't mess with me. And everybody was like, oh. But then I remember some other dudes came over and they're like, yo, Tiny. And I was like, what's up? And they're like, he is real mad over there. And I was like, man, it's fine. I can take him. They're like, I don't know, man. He might nerd rage on you. Like, just heads up. I mean, nothing ever happened. But I remember, like, God, it sounds so stupid. Like, I had my finger poking a dude. Like, what were we even mad about?
I thought you were going to say your friends when you were like, I thought what your friends said when you were like, don't worry, I could take him. They were like, Tiny. You can't.
They were just like I just remember the one dude say Darius's face. He's like, he's sitting over there just like real mad, man. Like, you could tell he's thinking about it. I was like, damn. But I mean, I will say, luckily I didn't have to fight the guy, but I mean, it's pretty disrespectful in the middle of the lunchroom, like right in front of the line. I poked him twice.
Them's fighting pokes, man.
Right? Can you imagine that? Like, even now, I mean, Matt, you don't drink or nothing. You're in a bar sober and some dude touches, like, you'd be like, what the hell is this guy's problem?
Yeah,
I mean, it's not spitting on somebody, but it's pretty disrespectful.
I had a friend, like, I was at 7-Eleven yesterday, and he just, like, tapped. I didn't know he was in there. He was just, like, he lives down the street, and he just, like, tapped me on the shoulder, but, like, a little too hard on the slap for my bare tank top skin, and I just, like, turned around with the, like, what the is going on? And I'm like, oh, hey, how's it going, Chris? Like, but yeah, it's getting poked. Like, that's a shot to the ego, too.
Right.
Yeah, seriously, especially if it's somebody you don't know.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, the other thing, too, is like I'm saying that you remember.
Tough guy Ted.
Yeah, tough guy Ted in the lunchroom at high school. That's a big place to be tough.
Yeah.
Also, I wanted to just tell everybody, we are aware that the podcast comes out as soon as we record it. The system has changed, so we can't. You could still, if you want to wait, listen to it on Thursday. Don't ruin your Thursday.
Yeah, follow us on Twitter, and then I'll tweet it out on Thursdays.
Yeah, but yeah, if you subscribe already, thank you. Make sure everybody does subscribe. Yeah, you're just going to get it, and we're aware of it, and that's what happens.
I kind of, yeah, you know, like if it's part of
the Wednesdays thing?
Yeah.
If it's part of your Thursday routine, like it'll still be there for you, you know, and put your own reminder in your phone.
But it is tough. It's like Netflix. Like sometimes I'm like, I should slow down on the show so I don't run out of it. And it's like, no, I'm not.
Yeah, we were, Tyler, my girlfriend, is like living up in Alaska for 3 weeks at a time, and we loved the show Sneaky Pete on Amazon, which is not going to be renewed for season 4, which I'm kind of pissed about. Everybody in this town likes to like bitch about Jeff Bezos, and that's like my main gripe with the guy. Like, yeah, he canceled Sneaky Pete. I know he didn't, but we watched one episode of season 3, and then she went up to Alaska, and she's like, don't watch it while I'm gone. And I was like, oh, you're killing me.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, so, I mean.
Rude.
It came out like right before she left. It was understandable, but yeah, that was the anticipation factor can be a lot to overcome.
Yeah, and I think it depends on the show. Like if I was with a girl and she wants to watch like a show that I've already seen, I'd watch it again. It wouldn't be a big deal. But I guess, yeah, it would be annoying if I could just go home and watch a new episode, but I can't.
Right. But then I found the Unsolved Tupac and Biggie one, which was rad.
Yes.
So that like kept me occupied with my limited TV watching that I did, which,
telling you, man, Hell on Wheels.
Hell on Wheels?
Yeah. It's an AMC show. Common's in it. It's about these guys that are basically working on the railroad. It's post the Civil War's ended. Lincoln's just been killed.
Reconstruction?
Yeah. So it's right after Reconstruction. And like, All the freedmen, you know, the black dudes that were slaves, they're working on the railroad, and it's a bunch of Irish dudes and this and that. So he's like trying to avenge, his wife was killed by like all the Union soldiers. So he's a rebel soldier. Then he joins the railroad to find somebody. And then he ends up like running the railroad.
Whoa.
But it's pretty good.
I've always had a tough time with period pieces.
My biggest issue with this one, like I do with most things, like I've gotten off my English stuff, and now I just want to slam whiskey and like talk like I am from the frontier. I also, when I watch that show, I'm always like, I never would have made it. I would have been dead within days.
Well, somebody in the Smith family line made it.
Yeah, I think we were concentrating in the cities.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I'm like saloon keeper level, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I'm the farthest Smith West of all time.
That's true. Wow, that's wild.
Yeah.
Yeah, the Cobbs were definitely a frontiers folk.
Yeah, they'll tell stories about me. There once was a Smith that went west.
We never heard of saw or heard from him again.
All right.
He just couldn't go north.
Right. Just couldn't go north of Mercer. Man, he loved the West. All right. So I just wanted to put that out there. We're aware of the problem.
Western
it's just
Smith.
A change.
Just a change.
Wild West Smith. That'd be a fun, like, in the little, like, you know, collectibles line. Wild West Smith, big ass handlebar mustache. Maybe a bandolero or two.
Yeah. All that kind of stuff, man. I think I'd smoke pipes, too.
A whiskey in, like, a paper bag in one hand, six-shooter in the other.
Well, the main thing is, too, is I just want to take a match and just strike it against something. Because in this show...
Against the heel of your boot.
Yeah, they never use, like, a matchbook or nothing. They just strike it on something and then light a cigar or a pipe. I'm like, God, that looks tough.
Yeah, I know. I would have been a smoker for sure.
Yeah, I mean, everybody did. It was just what you did.
It's just what you do.
Yeah. Yeah. All right, let's see. Last week we had on Talon. Unfortunately, Talon did lose this week at Cage Sport.
Walk me through it.
I mean, look, it's kind of like I texted the other night. Or Matt, you're going to have to bleep me out. But, I mean, it was a 5-round fucking battle.
Real, like they were like a lot of striking, or they were on the ground?
Striking, grappling. I mean, it went back. I mean, it was an awesome fight. I should also say, first of all, Cage Sport, that card Saturday night was awesome.
Really?
Some great fights. there was two girls that fought, and I guess they had fought like three times as amateurs, and the one girl always won. They get to the professional ranks, the other girl wins.
Grudge match.
There was a ex-UW defensive end, right? This is his
big dog.
His pro debut, right? He comes out, and I mean, he's big, right? He's like, you know, Ivan Salivari's gym, and he just looks like he's going to get work done. And then the guy he's fighting works out down at our my buddy Eddie Ellis's gym. Eddie and Lisa, what's up? And you guys met him. They've been in here.
Yep.
So, like, the one dude comes out, the UW guy comes out, and then Eddie's guy comes out, and he's, like, got an American flag. It's like a country song. And it just looks like he's going to get demolished. So the first round, they're trading blows, and, like, Eddie's guy just doesn't go down. And we were kind of sitting there on the side of the cage. Keep in mind, this UW guy, I got to look up his name. He had never had a fight go past, like, 2.5 minutes. He's just knocking dudes out on the amateur level.
He's got that power.
But now, it's like halfway through the first round, and you can kind of see it happening. Like, it's just that realization of like, wait, this guy can take my punches.
Yes, and dude, I just watched a Bellator fight like that.
And that messes sometimes with a dude's head worse than getting punched.
Yeah, when a guy's got a chin, and he's like, yeah, I can take some shots.
Right, so then they get into the second round, and
is he gassed?
They both were a little gassed, but Eddie's man, that big man, I don't know how he got in because he was so much shorter, but he got in and started laying in bombs. And then it was just he got knocked out cold. Probably should have, that one could have been stopped a little bit earlier.
Which one got knocked out cold?
The UW dude.
Wow.
Yeah. And it's always
welcome to the pros.
It's always weird too, right? Because fight promoters, right? You're always like, oh, he played at UW locally, right? So this is going to be a good thing. So Grant and Brian started kind of pumping out like, hey, you UW fan, come watch this guy fight. And then he got knocked out. I think he'll be good. Like, you could tell he knows, like, he'll have a career in it. But it just, yeah. I mean, that's the other thing about debuts. You never know.
Yeah, that's brutal, man.
Yeah, there was another fight where a dude got caught in a heel hook. So nasty. I thought I had to turn away.
Did he snap it?
Never tapped. He wins in the next round.
Oh, my God. Really?
Yeah. Like, I saw him backstage, and I go, brother, that was a hell of a fight. I don't know how you didn't tap. I thought he had you. And he goes, he did have me. I barely got out of that. I was like, oh.
Wow!
Right?
Oh man!
And I'm sitting right on the apron next to a UFC Hall of Famer in Maurice Smith, and he's like, I would have tapped.
Yeah, you got to save those knees, man.
Oh. Yeah. So that's what I'm saying. Just an awesome night of fights. The heavyweight fight ended in a knockout, but yeah, Talon's fight. I mean, it was a hell of a fight. He shouldn't be. And you're always going to be down after a loss, but it was pretty evenly matched, and they'll have to run that back.
Did he take a lot of damage, or was they mostly kind of jiu-jitsu?
It was a little of both. That's what I'm saying. It was just a good fight. Like half the round would be standing up, trading punches. Half of it would be on the ground. I was shocked. He ended up getting caught in an armbar, but I was kind of shocked that he got caught.
Yeah.
In a submission. But yeah, good night. What else? Hello to the people that saw me back. As soon as I'm done, I turn in my microphone and go get a beverage and met some cool dudes back there. Met a guy that played in the minor leagues for baseball, and then he played over in Asia. And I was like, how was it playing in Asia? And he goes, it's awesome, man.
Yeah, I bet.
Because I was like, they love it over there. And he's like, yeah, exactly. And he's like, I'm the white American baseball player. So he's like, they love baseball, and they love it. He's like, it was awesome. I was like, dude, that sounds awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. And then he was telling me, we were doing a shot of tequila, and he goes, you ever drink with Dominicans? I'm like, no. And he's like, I played a lot of baseball. I've drank with a ton of Dominicans. And he said, their trick is, every time you get a beer, you also get a shot of tequila. But you only drink half the beer. And then you go back up, and you do the same. And I forgot why he said they only drink half the beer. But he's like, by the end of the night, you only have 8 beers, but you have like 16 shots of tequila.
Wow.
And baseball players, all the Caribbean dudes, love tequila.
Right?
Yeah, because like Drago, he rehabs some of the Mariners and stuff. So when you go to his house, it's like, Benny, how do you have all this tequila? And he's like, oh, they send me gifts. It's like a thank you. And it's like, he has high-end tequilas I've never even heard of.
Dude, yeah. And there's some like really obscure ones out there. I had too long of a story. But yes, there are some very exotic tequilas out there.
And I've noticed like a few years ago, a vodka soda was like the fitness person's drink. I feel like tequila is now like the fitness person's drink.
Yeah, I would say tequila or White Claw. The Claw.
I know.
Big talk about the Claw last night.
Oh, yeah?
At a friend's birthday party. Actually, you know Henry, the local artist?
Yes.
Yeah, I was with him at a birthday party. And like, yeah, but it was a whole
table.
That
guy puts out a lot of work.
Yeah, he's rad.
He did a whole school by my house.
Yeah, he's a super cool dude. And
nice. I've never met him, never even seen his face.
Yeah, he's awesome. So Yeah, but we were all talking about the emergence of White Claw and the other one that's popular that ends in a Lee.
Truly?
Truly, yeah.
Yeah, well, we just got through Truly. Now we're in Clawgist.
Yeah, because like the biggest telling point to me was like last year at Meltdown, you didn't see a single spiked seltzer. And this year, they were all over every single camp.
Yeah.
Like,
I will say,
in one year's
drink
time,
of summer, man.
For the record, I was on those last summer.
You were?
Yeah.
Accurate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Accurate.
You're...
I'll vouch for that all day.
Yeah, but I'm a soda water guy. So right. I was just like, this is a great idea.
Dude, you're a soda water guy. And also, I feel like generally speaking, like you happen to be into stuff early. Like me too, but it's always like obscure stuff. But I feel like generally we're one of the two of us is on stuff early.
Yeah. And also, like, I don't know if it's...
That's why I'm pushing Cheetos.
I don't know if it's good.
Gene Speedo, get one.
I don't know if it's good or bad, but I can pick out popular stuff.
Yeah, me too.
Like, sometimes even here at work, like, Castle and Hair Club will be like, this song's kind of popular. They're like, what do you think? And I'm like, I think it's great.
Like, that's a banger right there.
Yeah, that'll probably... Like, they're like, you don't think it's too popular? No, that sounds good. And then oftentimes they pan out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that one. You know what's crazy, though, about that is it's always... tough to estimate how big the wave is going to be. That's what I've noticed that I neglect. I always think the wave has crested, and then it's like, oh, no. Old Town Road's getting way bigger.
Yeah. Yeah, right? I mean, the White Claw one, I just thought it sounded cool. But I remember last summer, I told this story. Like, a girl was, like, waiting outside my place. I started BSing with her. And I was like, have you had these? She's like, no. And I was like, do you want one? She's like, yeah. And I was like... All right, you can, like, I had, you know, my back slider. So I was like, you can come in if you want. And I remember, like, I pulled it out. I was like, just so you see, like, this is an unopened can. I'm going to pour in the red cup for you. She was like, oh, thanks.
Dude, we are, man, that sounds totally like something I would do. I'm, like, overly sensitive about being like, don't worry, I'm a nice man. You're okay.
Yeah, well, it's just weird. It's like, as she's, like, kind of, like, looking
in. Let me go
into
this creepy basement.
Yeah, I'm just like, and I'm, like, grabbing her a drink. I'm like,
have this White Claw.
Right, I'm like, I should show her. This is a brand new, fresh one.
I've never heard of it. Come into my lair.
Come into my lair. Also, there's that super funny video that came out this summer. That's where the there ain't no laws when you're drinking claws.
Someone had a sign that said that at Meltdown. One of the sign people.
Right.
And so I recognize that's a Trevor Wallace one.
Yeah, exactly.
He's hilarious.
He's funny as shit.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, everybody likes them. And then, like, they're just good. And I get it. It's like bro culture. But, like, I'm happy it's as popular as it is.
Me too. That's why I was drinking Schopenhofer for years. And I was surprised it never caught on because it was just like a citrus, you know, like summery light drink with not that much alcohol. And so, yeah, I'm happy they're around too. It's nice, like, having a party. We were drinking them at that party up north, Terrace Party.
Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, and it's good. It's a nice, like, light, easy summer drink, man. It's a nice contrast to the IPAs people are usually trying to feed me.
Yeah. Well, and remember when I just brought that six pack because I was like, and it, like, I mean, I asked a couple, I mean, that thing was gone in no time. People were like, oh, yeah, I'd love to try one.
Yeah. I'll say this. Have you guys had the San Juan seltzer one?
Yeah.
I feel like it's not quite as good. I've been waiting for a flavor to come out of them where I'm like, wow, okay,
but
I'm back.
That's what I brought to that party is they specifically have a Rainier cherry one. So I was like, all right. But I like all the cherries. Like White Claw, I like black cherry.
Have you had the mango?
Yes.
About that life.
All right. So here's the other thing. I like the White Claws. And then a friend of a friend, he's a buddy now, my buddy Rich. Rich is a big boy, right? Rich used to ride dirt bikes professionally. Like, there's no kidding around. Rich is a man's man, right? Like, So he has an awesome tailgate. Actually, a bunch of our mutual friends I met there one day. Like, they were just like, you know this guy?
Nice.
But he has a whole cooler just of the mango ones. Like, coolers of all kinds of beer. There's a whole bar set up. But, like, him and his dudes, it's like, I wouldn't look at them and go, those are mango White Claw.
Those are mango claw people.
And that's all they drink.
I like it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I like that. Yeah, I feel like we're starting to see the masculine identity become a little, like, less rigid and stagnant and, like, forced into solely masculine, you know, endeavors is not the right word. Solely masculine roles. You know what I mean? Guys are wearing like more color on their clothing.
Yeah.
A little more like, you know, dancing,
we're
singing.
We're both wearing Bob Ross shirts.
Nice. Yeah. So that's good. I feel like because some of the like the South American culture, some of them have like so much machismo, you know, but they're also more emotional. Like they're more emotionally expressive is what I meant to say.
Yeah. But I mean, like today on the men's room, I was talking about White Claw. We were talking about, and it's funny, like there's somebody texted in like, that's only for chicks, like, Ted's a bitch, blah, blah, blah. It's like,
yeah, like, do you really define yourself based only on what you drink? or what you eat, you know?
Yeah. And look, there's still stuff like every time I cook a steak at home, I'm like, ah, oh, I'm a man cooking a steak.
Yeah, totally.
You know what I mean? But right, I'm with you. I'm not afraid to drink a White Claw.
I've seen some like tough looking dudes just drinking claws this summer. And it's like,
yeah, and it's like, oh, that guy is like not a real gangbanger because he eats salad.
Right. But
it's like, I don't know.
What's
man.
The percentage on those things?
I think they're five.
Five.
Okay. Well, most light beers are like, what, 4.5?
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah. Well, that's the other thing, too. Is like,
so that's the firepower.
Yeah. Well, some people, man, mix them like vodka sodas. And it's like, you're kind of like doubling up there.
Oh, they spike them more? That's something I would have done. Yeah.
And I get it. It's just
100%.
You know me. I enjoy some good distance drinking. Like you're putting vodka in your spiked soda water. Like this is not made for distance.
Distance like drinking. That's a great term.
Yeah,
I've never heard you use that before. I like that. Especially like an event like Burning Man or a good tailgate. Like that's distance drinking. You know, you're not trying to win a sprint.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Like we're gonna be hanging out at the lake house this weekend. Right.
God, I'm stoked.
Yeah, dude. So am I. Today I was like, man, I haven't been on a lake. All right, it's been like 3 weeks. But I'm just like, Jesus, I need to be in a lake. Also, are you still going to help me? Oh, you're not going to. I don't know what time you're getting there.
Help you what?
Dive.
Oh, teach you how to dive?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was joking the other day.
I mean, ideally, I'll be heading out there when you're heading out there, but we'll see.
I was telling Taryn, I go, you ever seen a grown man try to learn how to dive? come to the lake.
Come on out.
You guys don't have a trampoline, do you?
No.
Okay, I couldn't remember on the side of your house. Yeah, dude, I'll teach you how to dive in probably like 30 minutes.
All right.
You got to be brave, though. That's the key.
Yeah, or I'm just doing belly flops.
No, we're not even going to be in a... Yeah, you won't do any belly flops. We're going to be sliding into the water like a fish. And you might take some damage. I'm not going to lie to you, but no.
Also, let me see. What else did I want to mention? You know what? I don't get anything from them except delicious meals. Asado, 6th Ave. Awesome. Had a steak and some polenta.
Oh, you're talking about Tacoma. 6th Ave. I was like thinking downtown. I was like, what? Where? Yeah. That place sounds like good.
It is. And
Tacoma's
like,
got some spots, man.
Tacoma's on the uptick, dude.
Yeah, they're trying to get us down to that Ruston Point thing. Are you familiar with that complex?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
That and...
They're trying to get in the popcorn game down there.
No kidding.
Mm-hmm.
That'd be big.
Yeah, that'd be cool.
And they just opened up a new McMinniman's down there.
Oh, finally. That's a block from the old Cobra Lounge. There was going to be two. Yeah, in the old City Hall and then right across the street at the Lodge. So that Lodge, I know they finished and then I think they backed out of the other project, but beautiful building.
Yeah, it's awesome. Just Tacoma itself is a lot nicer and everything. It's cool, man. Let's see, what else is down there? I know the Swiss is a good, cool bar.
The Office is really good.
Yep.
Like that spot.
What am I saying? We had our freaking party down there. Of course we like Tacoma. Yeah. I'm like, wait a minute. Have we been down there? Like, oh, yeah. We throw a party there.
Tacoma's got some killer architecture, too.
Yeah, it's a cool town.
Mm-hmm.
Rainier's games are fun, too.
Yes.
I've only ever been to one,
and I had a blast.
Yeah, I got to go back to a Rainier's game. I've only been to one, too, and it was awesome.
Yeah.
Sato's always good. And then South Tacoma Way, if you're looking, number one, if you're looking to get in shape, if you've ever thought about learning maybe how to throw a punch or just sort of take, like, you're not going to learn. You don't have to go be a fighter. But Drew Brokenshire, his gym, Ludasport, I was telling Matt, it is awesome.
Right.
First of all, when you walk in, the aesthetics are beautiful. Like, it was me and Saul, and I think I even said at dinner, I was like, oh, Cobb would have loved the setup in here.
Yeah, that's awesome, man.
Yeah, it's kind of like old-timey, if that makes sense, but he's got some of his belts in there and then, like, the gear and just, like, the shirts are super cool. But then he's got a cage in there and a boxing ring in the back.
He has a cage in there?
Yes.
Jesus, Drew.
Yeah, man. I mean, it looks dope.
Wow.
Yeah.
And he's done fighting, right?
I think he still might want to fight one next year.
Ooh.
But I don't know. Because, you know, you start building your own team. Maybe you just do coaching. But I think he still has that fire to get another one in.
He has the eternal fire.
Ironic. Good point. Real quick, and then we'll get to some other stuff. I started a little bit of a battle today. I was eating melon. Matt, actually, I'll tell you exactly what I was eating. Had a serving of brown rice, a little chicken teriyaki, and then broccoli, carrots, onions, and then watermelon, honeydew, cantaloupe. Pretty balanced lunch.
Yeah.
So as I'm eating the watermelon, I thought, man, good watermelon in summertime is hard to beat. And I said, do I like it more than a Honeycrisp? So I put that on Twitter, and it seemed like people were kind of half and half. Obviously, a lot of Apple fans up here in the Northwest, and then the Apple's more versatile. You can do different stuff to it. But I was like, man, good watermelon's hard to beat. That was my thing. I'm just like, summertime melon's hard to beat.
Yeah, I agree. Are you trying to make me decide?
You got to pick one.
I saw the tweet. I didn't respond to it for a reason, Ted. That's a fucking tough question.
Cobb?
I was waiting for Matt to take his position.
Oh, like man. He's gonna
there are lines in the sand being drawn here.
I saw your
waffles
tweet.
Waffles and pancakes was not that much of a thinker. This has been, I saw it like 6 hours ago, and I've been like, I don't know, I hope he doesn't bring that up on the podcast.
I got 60 replies on that tweet.
I'm not surprised. Yeah, man. I got to go with Honeycrisps.
All right.
Wow.
It's only because I really do love watermelon, though, and this is the time of year, and that's kind of why I think my initial response of like, ooh, that's a good question. Like, Honeycrisp, first of all, when they first came out, you got them in like September and early October, and that was it.
That was it.
And then they figured out how to keep them out year round, and like I had some in like April this year that were still good.
Well, yeah, because they had enough. They put them in cold storage.
Yeah, Apple Store.
I mean, there
really
just weren't
well.
Enough trees before.
And a lot of people made that point. They're like, dude, I've had bad melon, but it's like it's rare you have a bad Honeycrisp.
Honeycrisp,
the worst Honeycrisp you're gonna have is in like May.
There's literally a term, bad apple, and like because some apples when they're not good, it's a disaster. But the Honeycrisps are just like, I don't know, they're an amazing feat of, you know, genetic modification or whatever, or however they came up with new breeds of apples.
Pretty much, yeah.
Right?
Sweet Tango hitting the markets this
year,
boys.
People talk about GMOs, and I'm like,
it's been out, but
I'm like, F you, man. I'm pretty sure Honeycrisps are GMOs, and like I'm all about those. So context matters, but yeah, I got to go with Honeycrisps because my initial thought on the watermelon was I had some watermelon salad this weekend and was like, oh, that's so good. And I was like, wait a minute, I put Honeycrisps on salads all the time.
Was there a little feta involved with the watermelon salad?
Yeah, there was.
That's good.
Balsamic. Shout out to Luigi's down in Pioneer Square.
Matt, you said something, man. I saw Ted scribbling furiously over there, which is rare while we're on the cast.
Because we're talking about how they keep Honeycrisp all year round now.
Yeah.
I read a devastating article today. Bananas might be gone as we know it.
What?
Dude, I've been waiting for that. Yeah. The, what's it called? Finally made its way.
Yeah, whatever
that disease, bacteria.
Yeah, so it was in Asia and Southeast Asia, and it just showed up in Colombia.
Yeah. I mean, in all fairness, within the banana community, you know, they said it was like not a question of if, but when.
What?
Yeah. This has already happened once. The Big Mike is gone forever.
Yeah.
That was what bananas used to be. But yeah. So there's this...
Matt, trust me. It was alarming. Alarming.
Yeah, it's a disease that gets into the soil, and once it's showing up and killing off your bananas, it's too late to stop it. So they've quarantined it in Colombia. It's been in Asia for a long time, but yeah, it's going to slowly sweep through.
Tell you one person who's not upset about that.
Get a different variety.
Taryn?
Taryn would give zero F's about this news.
Yeah, that's the real problem with monocultures, you know?
Yeah. The you mean where it's like... so centrally located on the sourcing of something?
So there were hundreds of varieties of bananas, and now there's four, and 98% of bananas are one. And so the problem is if there's a disease that those are susceptible to, it can wipe out global supply.
I mean, that's the other issue we have in our country right now, is because, what's it, Montesino or whatever, like basically they...
Monsanto?
Yeah, they bought out all the farmers, so everybody just makes corn now. And then if you want to get pesticides, you have to get them from the parent company. But now there's like these super bugs that are showing up. And eventually, like, they're not going to have pesticides for you to beat it either.
Yep. Antibiotics are going the same way, especially with like retroviruses and stuff. Well, I'm sorry. That's technically misleading. But the overprescription of antibiotics has led to antibiotic-resistant bacteria. And those ones then spread like crazy. Because there's so many antibiotics being pushed out that they're largely no longer effective.
Yeah. But I just saw that about the bananas. And I was like, come on, man.
Man.
Mm-hmm.
It's so, like, I love bananas. And they're just, to me, that's just the easiest one to eat.
Better say goodbye.
Man.
Never say goodbye. No. All right. That's all I got for this part of this show.
Wait. What? Where are you at? Watermelon or apple, man? Don't walk away.
Wait, did you answer?
Yeah, we'll get that. I just want to hear where the boys stand first.
Ted's topic.
You got to answer.
I can answer, sure. So, I mean, you know, for me, my
I can answer, sure.
At first blush, when I first heard the question, a part of me was like, ooh, watermelon, so juicy and delicious. But then I realized two things. One, I'm thirsty. And two, it's the peak of summer. Okay, it's August right now. Of course, watermelon sounds good. The upside for watermelon is that it is communal. It's not portable, but it is communal, and I like that. Usually when you're having it, it's associated with nice events. You know what I mean? You're at a barbecue. You're at a cool cookout. Hanging with friends. Maybe it's a birthday party. I don't know.
Maybe you're drinking a Spodee.
And frankly, people aren't wearing a lot of clothes. I'm into that. So, yeah, it could be a Spodee. Exactly. So my initial thought was watermelon, but then I thought to myself, who's really stood by my side? Who's been there in every sack lunch, every, like, you know, bottom of my backpack, and I find it at the end of a long work day? And it's been apples. So categorically, I got to go with apples. Honeycrisp is my favorite of the bunch. So I think despite loving the watermelon, I'd have to go Honeycrisp. Honeycrisp, you can also split and share with friends. No, it's not really the same, but I would say apple, but I love watermelon too.
Yeah. Yeah, Mr. I'm not Smith. Sure.
How dare
well,
you?
People make,
How dare you, Mr. Smith?
Here's the strongest points. One guy said you can't fill up apples full of booze. You can only do that with watermelons. It's like point watermelon.
Okay, but
then somebody, hang on. Then somebody said you can't bake with watermelon. I was like, point to apples.
Yep.
How
often are you eating vodka-filled watermelons in your life, man? 38 years old.
You know, to be honest with you, I can't tell you last time I had a piece of vodka.
Yeah, dude,
filled.
Come on.
I mean, I've had Jello shots
come on,
recently,
Pan.
But I don't know. You're right. I haven't been around vodka-soaked food.
It probably is nice to have the option. I'm with you, but
I mean, in theory, I would do this.
Yeah.
Damn. You know, I don't know because I'm with you. I want to say watermelon because it's summertime, but I'll fuck with some watermelon like in the winter. Wow. And I remember when I did like that crazy like diet thing where I was just in this like tent on this property for like 10 days and all I ate was a trout for lunch or trout for dinner, right? And then plain oatmeal in the morning. This is all I ate for 10 days. So when I got home, I remember I got a plain rotisserie chicken and half a watermelon. And I just was like ripping off hunks of chicken and scooping out watermelon. And I was like, this is the greatest thing I've ever done. I didn't go Honeycrisp.
Dude, there's a lot there. yeah, dude, I didn't realize. So you mentioned plain oatmeal. I didn't realize like a couple of years ago, I guess I mentioned to Jesse and Jamie, we were talking about something and I was like, oh yeah, I have plain oatmeal every morning for breakfast. And Jamie brought it up to me like 3 weeks ago. She was like, that shook me. She was like, I still think about that almost every morning. Like yeah. Cobb's just somewhere in the world just eating oatmeal with nothing in it.
Plain oatmeal sucks. Usually you got to cut it with at least some applesauce or some cinnamon.
Yeah. And I usually do just hard-boiled eggs now. But yeah, I don't know.
Had some of those today.
Oh, yeah.
They're great.
Dude, the other thing about a watermelon, though, is a single man, you know, like you got to slowly work your way through that. And sometimes it's
I never buy a whole watermelon.
Yeah. When it's in the fridge, it's a little too cold, you know, like for the tea. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm that guy that'll spend the extra dollar to have it pre-cut.
Yeah. I think that's a good move.
I it's a tough, tough question.
Mm-hmm. It's not easy, that's for sure.
Yeah, it's not like pancakes and waffles where there's a definitive winner in waffles.
Well, you know, we tackle the hard issues here.
Okay, so here's the other thing. You can cook with apples, right? Mm-hmm. But you ever had prosciutto wrapped around a piece of melon?
Oh,
pretty you ever delicious. Had watermelon sauce? I didn't think so.
Oh.
Ever had watermelon juice? I didn't think so.
Yeah, that's a good point.
Versatility, I think, is important.
Either way, this is
not unlike my friend the pancake.
This is just a trick to get you all to eat some more fruit.
I support that. Nice work, Ted.
All right, Cobb, you want to read some emails?
Oh, yeah. Hold up. It'll be just a second. I'm pulling him off the phone today. I had to take her out of airplane mode.
Oh, no worries.
You're trying to preserve that battery and make this happen.
While you're doing that, I remind Talon, you're always welcome to the podcast. Win, lose, or draw.
Yeah, that guy's awesome.
Yeah. Man, he did look good. I mean, that's the problem. He fought such a great fight, but like the other dude was just a little bit better that night.
Yeah, yeah. And sometimes it's not even better. Sometimes people get lucky too. Not saying that the other guy did, but you know, like anything can happen in a sport like that. That's just crazy. You see some guys who are like dominating a fight and then they get caught, one uppercut, one whatever. The thing I was going to say, you were talking about how the guy walked out in an American flag. I didn't want to stop you, but apparently Mike Tyson, for a while in his career, would just walk out to tones. It just was like metal chains, like scraping and stuff like that. No music. And apparently it was just terrifying.
And I won't lie, the American flag seemed a little funny because we were like, he's in America fighting another American. I was like, we all kind of get it already.
I am a real American.
Right. I mean, his credit, he's the champ, or he won. He's not the champ. That was his debut. But it just seemed funny to me. We were like, I thought usually you rep America when you're like fighting a Brazilian dude or like a guy from another country, or you're like in their country.
Maybe he's a big Hulk Hogan fan. You know, that was his walkout music forever.
Right.
I am a real American.
Fighting for the rights of every man?
I'm not sure. Cop topic.
Fight for your rights.
Fight, die, die, die. Oh, dude, you're good. Oh, you have your big bottle. Cop topic. Personal theory. We are all God. At least we are our own God. I believe that God is the perfect version of ourselves. We are, quote unquote, created in God's image, meaning we aren't our perfect selves, but somewhere in between. When we do good, we become closer to God and vice versa. Jesus is the Son of God and the Savior to accept in order to reach heaven. So to me, it means that if you have children, accept, love, and raise them. That is the secret to life after death. We live on through our children, not only with DNA, thank you, Matt, but with our teachings being passed to them. Anyway, I consider myself an atheist that believes that the Bible has some solid metaphors to be applied to the human experience. No offense to anybody of any beliefs. I'm just a human with a lot of questions trying to find answers to make sense that make sense to me. Cheers, boys. David, a.k.a. Trap Lord David, a.k.a. Father of the War Hornet, a.k.a. the Milkman.
Like that father of the what?
The War Hornet.
The War Hornet.
I like that email. I was trying.
Yes, I guess when we die, we're just dead. None of us have kids. Thanks, David.
I didn't have.
You go to hell. You go to hell and you die.
Yellow belly.
I agree. I actually wanted to say that, but like I didn't feel like I was prepared to articulate my thought. It's like a complex thing where I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to say white lighters are bad luck because that's a little easier. But yeah, I think it's kind of interesting, and trying to define God for the masses is an interesting one. But, you know, there's a real power to that. And I approach it more as like a co-pilot type situation where like we're more powerful than, you know, we are led to believe in a lot of cases. When you just give all the power to God, it's like, no, we're in this together. And but I got to take action and like get shit done here on earth. But there's definitely been some moments in my life where I feel very like tied into that stuff. So I really like that email.
Yeah. You said it very well. Sorry, I didn't have anything. I was like, good job, Matt.
Thanks.
Weird topic, weird theory.
Kudos to you, my friend.
Gentlemen, thank you for your hard work. I've been enjoying the cast for about 2 years.
Nice.
My theory is about my name, James. I think white dudes tend to go by Jim, while African-American dudes tend to go by James. I often introduce myself as Jim, and I'm a portly white fella. Throughout years of working on golf courses and in construction, my theory has held up. Many people will bring up NFL legend Jim Brown to prove me wrong. It's not foolproof, but I definitely have noticed a trend. Thanks for consistently fun and great entertainment. Philly Jim.
That's a solid call. I know 3 black Jameses. Oh, but I know a white James, too.
But do you know any black Jims? 0. I know 0 black Jims.
Well, I mean, Osiris is black. I work out on his gym. Sorry, I couldn't help myself.
Hi to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
When discussing weird theories.
Technically, it's a black gym.
I believe in beginner's luck. I feel like it exists to reward you for trying something new and to excite you to try again. Ooh. I've noticed my second and third attempts are never as magically wonderful as the first time, but each try has deepened my learning process, so they seem worth it. Keep rocking and popping, Michelle.
I like that theory.
First of all, shout out. What's up, Michelle?
That's a pretty good call.
I like tying the positive, like mystical reasoning behind it, as opposed to like I just, you know, you hear about it, you see people experience it, you experience it, and it's like maybe there is something there, but like that's a pretty cool like reasoning where it's like, oh yeah, I can get behind that. Like try new stuff, live life. Mm-hmm. You'll be rewarded for it.
Bitch ass.
man, on my phone, it's really hard to tell which ones I've read. Time to bring back Bacon Length to the greatest podcast in all the land.
All the land.
Sorry for the absence the past couple of months. Aside from making sure my engine will stop trying to catch fire or escape through the bottom of my car, I've been working on my own content, Laughter at Humanity Show. To answer the cop topic on what my guilty pleasure music is, if I'm not listening to 99.9 or classic music, it's old R&B and rock songs vocalized by women that I'll try to pull off at the local karaoke bar. Speaking of which, I have a question for you, gentlemen. Which song would you try singing for karaoke?
I think mine will be pretty obvious.
I've been trying to do Bombs Over Baghdad for years, and nobody has it on their karaoke machine. Bombs Over Baghdad by Outkast.
That's a lot of quick rapping.
Yeah, that's the idea, man. It'd be really cool if you actually pulled it off. You need two guys, and they both need to know the song, have it down tight.
I mean, I guess I'd have to go with the Beastie Boys stuff because I do it for the new originals, which is basically like rock-a-roke. But I will say, last year at Red Festival, I did Sabotage. The first verse, I was a half beat too quick.
Congrats on Matt striking out with his new program, Nutrition Made Fun. Even though I'm only half mad, he accidentally stole one of my hashtags. And let's end Cobb's dry streak. This is the summer of sex, goddammit. Working on it, my friend.
That's the other thing. When I said earlier I was excited for winter, like not to poo-poo the summer, and summer's not over yet, but like spring was all right. Summer was just a drought. I don't know what happened. I kind of fell off, and then I feel like the fall is going to pick up again. I got to be careful, though. It's cuffing season.
You're not wrong. It's funny how you view that as a dangerous scenario.
Thank you.
What, cuffing season?
No, like the paradigm at which you're... Okay, so you're not wrong that it is cuffing season. But you and I have spoken at great length about how we would each like to have a romantic partner in our lives.
Yeah.
But then you're viewing, quote-unquote, cuffing season as a threat rather than an opportunity.
Yes.
Like God forbid I end up with some like attractive chick all over me until Christmas. You know what I mean? Like, Jesus. Gotta be careful out there on those streets.
Looking all good in those yoga pants.
Yeah. Right? All right, you're right.
I don't know. It's just like, I mean.
That is talking out of both sides of my mouth. Oh, I'm gonna meet some girls. I just don't want to date them, but I would love to have a girlfriend. What?
Dude, that's a good phrase. I've never heard that, talking out of both sides of my mouth.
Yeah, that's like the other night at dinner, Saul got pistachio ice cream, which, again, is delicious on asado. And I said, I don't want to get desserts because I don't want to have too much sugar before I got to go stand in the cage and I'll be sweaty and stuff. But then I got a coffee and I added some sugar and he's like, so what's the difference? And I was like, yep, you're right.
Fair.
I don't know. I go, I just had too many times where I've eaten dessert after we've eaten that whole meal. And like, I'll be in there talking. And in my head, it's like, you are so sweaty. You need to get out from underneath these lights.
You're glistening. It's hot in here. It's like a broiler. as far as the cop topic on how to handle long flights, there's a couple things that come to mind. One, make good rapport with the flight attendants. Like most in the service industry, they'll appreciate being treated like actual people and will repay you in kind, especially if you booze on planes. I 100% agree on this with this. I always go to the bathroom. They hang out in the back. I go to the bathroom when there's a long line, go hang out in the back, start chat with them. Usually you can chop it up with them for a while. You get to stand and stretch. Boys?
So I hung out with a flight attendant for a little bit, and that was her advice. She was like, number one, if you want a drink, don't press the fucking button. They hate it. Mm-hmm. So like, just wait, right? Just wait. They will come by and get you a drink. And then she was like, make sure you're just like nice and polite when you get on the plane. And then, and this is a trick that I've done. It's not the worst thing. You know, you're in the airport. It's going to be a little expensive, like $10. Buy like a little piece of fudge or something. Just kind of give it to the crew as you're getting on.
That's a good call.
Yeah. But you're right. If you're just BSing with people and you're nice, like I always sit back in the back because I know what, look, I know. I'm going to drink some beers on this plane. I'm going to have to pee. So I just sit back there and it usually goes pretty well.
Yeah, I'm with you.
Yeah.
If there's a book or podcast you've been meaning to get to, that's the perfect time to get to it. You literally are stuck in one place with nothing else to do, so you can justify sitting down to read while sipping on an airplane mini. Cheers to the dog days of summer, fellas.
He's right, man. I have a book that I got through half on a flight, but then I haven't. I just haven't picked it back. I was like, I gotta finish this book.
I think that's it.
All right. I don't have anything to pimp. You know what I will pimp? Our Twitter account.
Oh, Jesus. We have like 40 more. I'm sorry. I just sorted by unread. Go ahead.
This weekend, I promised some good The Podcast content on the Twitter page.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, we got to get a couple pictures of us partying on the lake.
Yeah. No, that sounds like a good plan.
Yeah.
Maybe my dad will have some quotables. He doesn't listen. He won't hear this. He won't know that he's being tweeted. But we do got to get him in here at some point. But yeah, he just dropped some lines.
Yeah. And I know the horrible question because it's your dad. But like, what do we bring?
Oh, man. I put on the Facebook group, like, just bring some beers and whatever. Like, we'll have the food taken care of pretty well.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, we'll have the bases covered. You can, whatever you bring is going to be a bonus. But like, I told them I'd just tell people to bring their own beer because I don't drink and they're wine people. So, like, there might be some Coors Lights. I think that they have some Trulies and Claws laying around. So, like,
I'll bring beer.
Baseline stuff, but any addition is welcome. But we'll have everything covered.
All right. So, I'll go to a bakery and get a couple something fancy.
I can grab something at Pike Place.
You know what? That's a good call.
How are you getting out there?
With Matt or with Jesse and Jamie.
Oh, I didn't know they were going.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Huge. Wow.
Yeah. I'll actually be in Portland on Friday, and then I'm getting back up here Saturday. Go watch Sounders game with some buddies Saturday night, and then, yeah, Sunday going out there.
What did you bring from Pike Place last time?
Oh, I went to the,
De Laurenti?
Yeah, and I got, like, some good prosciutto and stuff. Yeah, that was a good hit.
Oh, yeah, they know what's up there.
Yeah, and then the little French place has pretty good macaroons, too.
Le Pignet. Jake taught me how to say it. I've been going to Le Pignet for like 5 years.
All right, well, let's check in with what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Check out with what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Whoa. Before we get to what's battening.
Hey, what's good? What's mattening?
Check out with what's battening.
Well, sticking to the weekend, was that last Tuesday? I think after the cast, I went and I tried Pagliacci back to back.
Oh, yeah, Miles said he saw you.
Yeah, then I went over to Big Mario's and I saw just to try back to back two of my favorite pizza joints in the city. I'm calling them my two favorite. I don't need to say two of my top two pizza joints in the city. And they're, you know, it wasn't so much as a competition as it was just like an experiment and an observation and an excuse to eat pizza. And it was fucking awesome. And
what kind of pizza did you get?
Well, to keep things objective, and Pagliacci had a good-looking seasonal. I forget which one, but we went with a slice of cheese and a slice of pepperoni at both. And
I see what you're doing. That's the right move.
Yeah, and we tried to, like, you know, be scientific about, like, how much red pepper and Parmesan we put on. We each took two bites before we put Parmesan and red pepper, but they come out at different rates with the shakers at the different places, so we just kind of had to eyeball it. But either way, we were the winners. Like, there's not one that's better than the other. I do like Big Mario's vibe better. They had Fear and Loathing on. They had metal playing. It's, like, dimly red lit as opposed to Pagliacci, which, you know, it's just like, it's a nice, clean, what's the term? It's just a nice little place, but it's like, that could be anywhere. But like, Big Mario's has some character. So, yeah, that was fun. I think that was last Tuesday after the cast.
It was.
Okay.
I had Pagliacci this weekend too. Sometimes I just get like a classic pepperoni. Like, it is so good.
It is. Because I texted you guys, because Matt, who works at the Big Mario's in Freeland, listens to the podcast.
Oh, nice. What's up, man?
So, shout out to him. He, a couple weeks ago, I went in there with my buddy Josh, and he brought us our pizza. He was like, here's the greatest pizza in all the land. And I was like, Was that a reference? Like, we didn't copyright saying the greatest something right. in all the land, so I couldn't decipher it, and I didn't want to be like a douchebag, like, oh, you listened to my podcast? So I just, like, let it slide, and then it came back in, and he was like, yeah, I listened to your podcast, and I was like, oh, I was wondering about that. I told the guys, so, yeah, that was cool, and then what else did we do this weekend? Well, so Tyler left Sunday to go back to Alaska. Friday was her birthday. We ended up kind of running a few errands, and we played putt-putt a lot. We played, like, I don't even know how many holes, because, so first we went to Family Fun Center down in Tukwila. So we were down there doing
I've been to that one.
Yeah, it was fun. So they have two courses, and we played the first one, and then on hole 18, it, like, takes your ball. And so we were like, fuck hole 18. Let's take our balls and go play the other one. So we skipped 18 on the first course, went and played the second course. And that was like, what?
Sounds like you got two rounds in for one.
Yeah, 35 holes there. And then we went to Flatstick later that night. Oh, we went to Luigi's, like I mentioned beforehand, in between there for dinner down in Pioneer Square, favorite Italian joint in the city. So I went to Big Mario's and Luigi's in the same week, which is a fun little accomplishment. And then got the Italian table there. If you get you just, like, tell them how much you want to spend and then tell them anything you don't want. And they'll just, like, bring you a three-course meal that they make themselves, and they have stuff that's not on the menu. And that's the move if you go to Luigi's, the Italian table. It's delicious. So then we went to Flatstick and got to, like, hole six. And it was just, like, a big backup. It's just, like, crowded there, the one in South Lake Union. And so it's, like, two groups ahead of us or whatever. And then we're like, look at hole one. It's completely empty. So we just, like, started over again at hole one. And then there was no one behind us for, like, 10 minutes. So we just – and there was a backup in front of us on hole two. And we just kept replaying every hole that we went to. So, I mean, we mini-golfed a lot.
Yeah.
And that was – that was Friday. Saturday was kind of like a lot of getting ready for her to leave on Sunday. But we also went over to Francis's first birthday party.
Oh, nice.
Our friends Jesse and Jamie had a baby a little over a year ago. And that was a fun party. So I've been talking about Kiss from a Rose a lot because we've been listening to it a lot. And I told a girl at the party, I was like, hey, did you know that's a waltz? And she literally, like, started playing in her head, and she actually, like, danced out a waltz, and she's like, you're right, it is, which is, like, just a weird reaction. I've had people, like, count it out and be like, one, two, yeah, it is, you're right. And, yeah, so that was one of the highlights. Francis is just fucking adorable, and it was fun hanging out with Jesse and Jamie's friends, yeah, that was just a great party, great food, and...
What's the one dude there that brings his own beverage? I forget his name. He's been at a party we've been at before. He's super cool, like, fun guy. And then, like, sometimes he shows up with just, like, a pre-made, like the size water thing you would bring to, like, practice or something when you're a kid. And he'll just have, like, a mixed drink already in it. Like, a fun summertime drink. He'll be like, do you want one? Like, hell yeah. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, I brought a batch of mojitos or something. You're just like, awesome. If there wasn't a guy
I handing
out drinks...
A lot of the people there and had to get reintroduced because, yeah, but I don't know.
All right.
Yeah, but it was my first 1-year-old's birthday party, I think. And it was a lot of fun. And then Tyler left early Sunday morning. And then I went over and played golf with my dad, brother, and one of my dad's friends at Redmond Ridge. And, you know, I started with two pars.
All right.
The second one was a chip in, by the way. So that was way too hot of a start, and the whole rest of the day felt like a disappointment. But I ended with another par, which it was
fringe, rough, sand pit, sand trap. Where were you at?
The rough right outside of the fringe.
All right. So pin in.
Yeah.
All right.
Yeah, and it was money. Although it was a par three, and my first one and it, like, got close, and then I just, like, duffed my. First chip, but my second one I got in. So it was like a little moment of redemption. And like I said, everything just felt bland after that until I got that par at the very end. But I had some good drives. I feel like my game's getting better. It's a lot of fun. And the last hole was like, we played skins, so every hole's worth something.
Yeah.
Each worth one. But we halved like five holes or whatever leading up until 18. So everything was coming down to 18. And like, yeah, my dad and I won. It was team skins. And like, one, we both parred it, but I got my, I contributed to the point getting that, that time. So it was a ton of fun. And yeah, I'm just a golf nerd now. I love it. It's awesome. So
you got to ask your dad. There's a game. It's called like Follow the Wolf or something. And it's basically like you tee off, and then whoever has the farthest tee shot, whoever had the best tee shot, gets to pick the partner they went for that hole.
Oh.
Like, I kind of remember. I just remember playing it years ago with my buddy Bernie and his father-in-law when he was still dating his wife. And he was like, yeah, like, let's go play golf with him. Let's impress him and stuff. And the dad kept picking me. And Bernie was just, and then we were giving Bernie, like, man, I don't, and he's like, I don't know if you can marry my daughter. You're not very good at this game. Bernie's one of those guys that could drive the ball a mile. Like, you go to the driving range with him, it's all he hits. And you're like, this guy must be awesome. But he never plays. So if he's got to pull out an iron and hit something off the grass, he's lost. But that's a fun golf game.
Yeah, it sounds fun.
All right. Yeah, let's check in.
Boop, about that time. Boop, boop, boop. Cob topic.
Cob topic.
Well, while we're talking pizza, I just feel obligated to mention I was the first one in the door at Domino's today when they opened at 10 a.m. Got a little pepperoni. It's no pagliacci, but something.
What did you get?
All right, so here's the thing that's really, man, I really am trying to complain less in my life, but here's something that's really annoying about Domino's as a chain. If you walk in, they have a coupon there where a pizza is $14.99 for a large.
Okay.
If you order that same pizza on the internet, it is $7.99. So I walked in, tried to order, and I've had this issues with that Domino's before, so I didn't, as soon as she was like, well, it has to, I was like, I'll just order on my phone. So I sat there, ordered it on my phone. The girl got it, cocked it in. Then I walked up to the front because you can pay for it in store. And so it was a whole ordeal. But anyway, what I got was a large.
Did you go to the one I'm thinking of by my QFC?
Yeah. A large for $7.99. Ranch cup, half pep, half chi.
Ooh. I'm just amazed you were in there at 10 a.m.
Square cut.
Oh, the thin crust?
No. Hand tossed, square cut.
Wow. I'm just always amazed because whenever I see. This is going to sound silly, but I always get excited when I see pizza getting delivered. And sometimes when I walk to work, it's like the guy will be delivering pizzas at like 10:45, 11.
It was banging
just,
in there.
And I'm just like, who are these people? So it's funny to hear you say that. It's almost like,
for they live.
Like, are they still up from the night before? Or is it just like their day off and they're like, fuck it, I want pizza?
Yeah, that's what it was for me. But honestly, yeah. It was banging in there, dude. As you're in there, a little like bell goes off every time someone orders. There was 15 orders before I walked out the door. That's in like the first 20 minutes. And they're the first pizza shop to open in town, which is how I made my selection.
Yeah, dude. That
everyone else opens at 11.
Yeah, that pizza, that Domino's up there is crazy. And I say this, and I will say this to the day I die. I'm telling you, nothing as ubiquitous as that Domino's, man. I mean, the first day I was in, the first morning I woke up in London, I like throw open the shutter, look outside, like, I'm in London. There goes the Domino's guy.
Yeah.
I'm just like, it's crazy.
Yeah, Domino's does well, especially after their whole rebrand thing. Frankly, I think I'm one of the few people in America who actually preferred the old Domino's, but like the pizza itself. But yeah, they've done a great job, man. They're crushing it.
Yeah. I just, it's not my life anymore.
Yeah, I know. Just kiss that Ted goodbye and just kissed pull up Ted. Hello.
All right, what do you got for us?
So,
excuse me.
We're in deep preparation now for Burning Man 2019. Ted and I are going, if people aren't familiar, where we're hoping to go, but we're short a ticket at the moment. So today I was just like kind of going through my inventory, figuring out what items I was going to need. Because there's a lot of stuff you need to survive out there. You know, they call it radical self-reliance for a reason. And it's, you know, it's brutal sun, it's wind, there's no cover, there's no vegetation, there's no trees, there's no water, there's nothing. It's the surface of the moon. So I was looking through stuff. I was like, man, there's a lot of different stuff to pick up and a lot of different stuff to buy, whatever. And I was like, I looked up a couple lists online and a couple of them had some really like obscure, weird items. And I was just like, man, some of those seem like a total waste of money. And so the cop topic this week, what is the biggest waste of money? Feel free to email us, email the podcast, or hit us up on the Twitter machine. Things like a gym membership you don't use or, I don't know, cigarettes, stuff like that.
I'd say the spring mix.
The sprig mix?
The spring mix.
Are you talking about for salads?
Like bag salad?
Literally buy that every week. Except not the bag, the container.
Right. Yeah. And I used to buy it all the time too, in the bag. And if it's a, you know, if it's a Asian salad or endless summer, I make them all the time and eat them. But the spring mix, I never eat. I always end up throwing it out.
Are we talking about the same one? Is the spring mix the same as the sprig mix?
I don't know what the sprig mix
is. Yeah, what's a sprig mix?
I don't know. It's got like, man, I really don't know, leafy vegetables.
Purple and green.
Some spinach in there. It's got like some like, I don't know, little like assorted little greens.
Are you saying it right?
I think it was a typo.
I don't know. I don't know if they're the same thing.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure.
I'll try to look it up while you guys talk.
So yeah.
Biggest waste of money.
Yeah, for whatever reason, the other bag salads I'll eat, but the spring mix, I never end up eating it. I end up just throwing it out. So I'm just like, all right, I'm done getting that thing.
Yeah, I never get the bag salads. I like the little container guys.
Also, that dome I bought for Burning Man. That was a
bad God, that we bought? Yeah, nightmare. That dude, God, yeah, what a waste of money. What a colossal waste of money, especially made sadder by how excited we were for it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. That thing was, yeah.
And then I just couldn't, I couldn't get anybody to freaking use it.
No, what do you, it was like, dude, it was, for people who aren't familiar, it was the things they have in that fire, the fire documentary, the fire festival.
Yeah.
It was those.
Those.
Yeah, we were the original ones to get conned.
You guys got bamboozled.
We got conned before getting conned was cool.
I'm trying to think.
We were early on the domes.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes a waste of money, and you know this, when you live by yourself, it's just random things. Like sometimes in the summertime, I'll be like, you know what? Screw it. I want to make some hot dogs. They don't sell like a pack of three hot dogs. And they don't sell a pack of like, you know, so you make like three hot dogs.
Dude, it's so sad that you're saying it, but it's so true to my life.
And now, but
you're 1,000% correct.
Right? So it's like, what am I going to do?
A three banger of hot dogs.
And I'm not going to buy buns because that's the worst thing. If the buns sit around, then it's like, Jesus, I'm going to eat all these buns.
Yeah.
So, yeah. That's why, like, frankly.
I know. That's why I'll like, if I want a hot dog now, I have to go to 7-Eleven. It's embarrassing.
Yeah, right? You got to eat some street.
7-Eleven sells a lot of hot dogs and pizza. I go across the street for the one for the coffee, and I'm like, people are just eating, like, food from 7-Eleven like it's nothing.
Dude, that was one of the best moves they made in the last 10 years, the introduction of their hot food stuff. They've been crushing
it. I feel like, you know, I mean, if anything, I'd probably get one of their taquitos.
Is it just me or is 7-Eleven getting way more expensive? I feel like they've realized that they are like the pit crew of the modern man, and they've started to ratchet up their prices accordingly, knowing that they're an essential piece.
I don't know. A cup of coffee is $1.75, and I can put one of the Hershey's creams in it and one of the Cold Stone creams in it in the same cup for $1.75.
Like, talk to me about the former best value in America, the 99-cent Slurpee that's now $2.29 with no straw.
What?
Inflation is real. No one's talking about it, man.
Wow. I think it depends on where you are, too.
Yeah, that's true. In other cities, you can still get a plastic straw.
Well, I'm just saying, you're in a downtown city, like 7-Eleven's going to be much more expensive.
That's totally true. I mean, they use CPI, but I feel like they're starting to flex on us a little bit. That's all.
Consumer Price Index?
Yeah.
But, is that what that stands for?
Yeah. But
I rarely go to a, I just go to the corner store by my house.
Yeah.
Which, by the way, that place
the one with Carlitos?
Carmelo's,
yeah.
They got tables outside now. That's how popular the taco joint is that opened up inside this.
Wow.
Place.
Wow. Yeah.
And he said they got to buy so much more ice cream because they have an out like a window or you can go inside and order, but while you're ordering, it's right by all the ice cream. And he's like, oh my God, we sell so much ice cream now because people just buy it to go with their tacos.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah. 7-Eleven has always been my convenience store, like the one by my parents. You know, like driving down the lake road. And then I moved to the barracks where there's one even closer than where I was living with my parents.
Oh, yeah, the Bug Zapper. And the original Bug Zapper.
Now it's right across the fucking street. Like 10 seconds.
Yep.
Maybe I mean, when I grew up, that's all we did with 7-Eleven.
Yeah, it's awesome. My biggest waste of money, the one that popped into my head first, and maybe I'm a little jaded, and I can't, it sounds so weird to say that this is what popped into my head. But I think strip clubs, particularly here in Washington State, that's for
now
damn
I'm
sure.
On board. Now
that's I'm for board. Damn sure. But, I mean, ever since I got to know that one, I just haven't felt the same spending money.
Look how angry Ted is right now.
I know.
Well, he's indignant.
I'm with you. I think strip clubs in Washington, just because you can't drink, it's just weird and you feel creepy.
Yes.
Like you go to Portland, I'll hang out in a strip club and, you know,
the vibe is
or in Ohio, you can bring your own booze in at least. They can't sell it to you, but they can sell you a cooler with ice.
It's just weird. And then they're always just like, do you want to dance? Do you want to dance? Do you want to dance? It's like, I just feel like a creep.
Like, I kind of just want a cocktail.
Right? Or like, can we just sit here for a minute?
I don't drink, but even going down to Portland.
You like to be warmed up a little bit first, Ted?
Yeah. Right?
She needs to turn on my mind.
Yeah,
first.
Like I mean, look, I know you're a stripper, but come on, act like it. Like you like me. Act
like it. Play the dance, baby. Play the game. Little cat and mouse game. Oh man, the strippers are on the clock.
I will say this. I love strip clubs, but I have a certain like threshold. Like a couple. Like I like going to like you ever have a friend or whatever that's just like strip club guy. And yes. They will just stay in there for hours.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
I like them. But after a couple hours, it's like, all right, cool. Like, let's just go to a regular bar and slam some drinks and maybe talk to a woman we could actually have sex with.
Yeah, I was going to say, at a regular bar, you can at least, like, entertain the fantasy that you might get laid.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
It is a weird, like, juxtaposition because, like, I feel that way retroactively, but I always have a great time, and I always feel like it was worth the money. Like the next, I never wake up regretting spending the money, but just like looking back, being a little farther removed from the last time I went, I'm like, those are just wastes of money. But they feel worth it in the moment. It's weird. But that was what popped into my head.
Dude, I'm torn right now between two stories. Would you guys like a great 7-Eleven small town America heartwarming story, or one about how American Express is the greatest credit card company of all time?
The greatest?
We know the American Express one.
Have I told it on here?
Yeah.
Okay. 7-Eleven it is. So when I was a kid, every Sunday, we didn't have a lot of money, but every Sunday we would go to the 7-Eleven by our house, and we would all walk up there, my brother, my dad and I, and they had Jolly Ranchers for 1 cent. And so, like, my dad would give us, like, you know, a quarter or 50 cents or whatever, I don't know, and you'd get some sort of candy. He would go to grab the paper. So we walked up there, and after a while, we got to know the family that owned it because they worked in the store, Mary and Bill. So this was going on for, like, I don't know, seven, eight years, and they knew that – have I told this story on the cast?
No, sorry. I just have to pee.
Cool. So they knew that my brother and I are 3 years apart. But my brother's born first, so for 10 days between our two birthdays, he was going to be 11 and I was going to be 7 until I turned 8. So there's a 10-day period where we would be the 7-Eleven boys. So what they did is they typed up on their computer a little like flyer that was 10 free candy bars, one a day for all the days that we were the 7-Eleven boys. So we could come into the store if we rode our bikes up there and they would give us a free candy bar. It's awesome.
Wow.
So, like, made this special little deal for us. It was super cool.
I remember buying a candy bar at the 7-Eleven by my house once. And there was something going on. And the guy behind the counter picked up the phone to call the cops. And the dude ripped the phone out of his hand and threw it across the 7-Eleven. It was aggressive.
Heartwarming.
All right. There you go. This episode 271. Big thank you again to Drew Brokenshire, had me down at Ludosport. That was awesome. And then the next Cage Sport MMA will be October 5th. So buy some, you know, if you want to get tickets for that, just giving you a heads up. You got plenty of time. But it was a great show, man. And always thanks to my buddy Brian Howquest putting that stuff on. Let's see. Yeah, if you're around on Twitter, look for Shirtless Summer. That's what we're hashtagging it. I got an appointment with Matt to shave my back again, too. Be all clean.
Fresh.
I'm at that crossroads, though.
On the leg?
On the leg.
Oh.
What do you mean? You're at the crossroads, like, do you continue to shave it?
Yes.
Well, what are your thoughts? Give me the 2-second version.
I just feel like I've gotten some decent compliments on him.
Yeah, it looks pretty good. It's kind of grown in right now, but not, you know.
Yeah. So wild. I might leave it. Before Burning Man, I might shave her down again.
Why don't you just get a trimmer and just
That's what I did. I didn't shave it. I just went no guard.
Yeah, but that's what I'm saying. Like, why don't you just throw a guard on there?
Ooh.
You're gonna maintain
Are
a
your
four,
legs anything
a
like your back?
Yeah, I don't know how to explain it. It doesn't work that
You're
way.
Trying to go clean?
Yeah.
All right. Well, I mean, it looks pretty good, but this time you have no mental justification. So you may take a little more, you know, a little more heat out there in the streets.
Hey, it's only a matter of time before I'm gonna be like a seal walking around, not a hair on me. All right, there's episode 271. Keep listening and keep learning. For MCTP, for Cobb, I'm Lee Ted Smith. This is the podcast. Cheers.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow. A real person.
Yep. I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow. I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule. And there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Visit Blinds.com now for up to 45% off with minimum purchase. Rules and restrictions apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking, or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.